G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Yep, give me an oi when you're there. All right. So it says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you." And we talked a little bit about this last week, about Paul is really describing the opposition, the difficulties that they had to face. It can be difficult to travel. You know, like it's even in our day and age, and I'm not trying to compare us with Paul, but even in our day and age, it can be difficult. I arrived in Dallas this year, but my luggage didn't arrive, and conference was due to start the next day. You know, and so I had nothing except the clothes that I was wearing. It can be difficult. You know, you can miss connections. You can have delays in our day. In Paul's day, it was even worse. I mean, there were shipwrecks. Numerous times, the ship got destroyed in a storm or ran aground. Or that's not an easy thing to deal with. And so he's talking about how, even though they've got this wonderful, glorious gospel of Jesus Christ within them, yet they're facing these difficulties. And that's why he says there in that, so then death is working in us, but life in you. And it says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what it is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is just for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but are the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So I'm doing a final part to being connected to the supernatural. I thought that last week was going to be it, but during the week I was talking to the Lord and I really felt like there's a little bit more that this is something, I guess it's dear to my heart. It's one of the first revelations God gave me, and it is something I could talk about every week, but this will be the final week for now anyway. So let me just recap a couple of things that we have talked about. And the messages are up, they're online, part one and part two. In part one, we looked at the existence of two realms. This scripture in verse 18 talks about we don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. So there's these two realms, the seen, or what I call the natural realm, and the unseen, or what I call the supernatural realm. And so this is a truth that's right through the scriptures. There's a natural realm and there's a supernatural realm. And an unbeliever walks in the natural. Sad to say, there's so many believers that walk in the natural as well. You know, we need to be a people that learn how we can activate our spiritual senses and begin to operate in the supernatural. We are supernatural beings. If you're born again, a miracle took place within you. Your spirit, which was dead, was brought back to life and God himself infused with your spirit. And now you're one with him. You may not feel any different. You may get up at times feeling sick as a dog, or you may be feeling just really down and out and just having the blues. But that doesn't mean that something hasn't happened on the inside. Something has happened. And the more we begin to activate what's happened from that unseen realm, we can then draw from that and affect ourselves in the natural. It'll affect the way you think. It'll affect the way you feel. It'll affect your body. It'll affect your finances. It'll affect your relationships. It'll affect your job. It affects everything. So anyway, so we looked at that in part one, just the existence of the two realms. In part two, we looked at what does it mean to be connected to the supernatural. And we saw how Jesus was led by the Spirit. So to be connected to the supernatural means you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. But he didn't just get led by the Spirit. Do you remember when he was in the desert and the devil was trying to tempt him? How did he handle the temptations? What did he do? It is written. He used the Word of God. He stayed connected to the supernatural by using the Word of God. So to be connected to the supernatural means you make your decisions based on the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's how we can then begin to emulate what Jesus did. We do the same things he did. We allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, and we allow the Word of God to change the way we think, and we begin to think in line with that. You may have recalled, I think it was in part one, I talked about how what I'm sharing is Christianity 101. This is not advanced stuff, right? This is basic stuff. This is really just the foundation from which we can build onto. And yet, sad to say, so many Christians don't even understand this, right? And but we're not going to be like that. Do I hear an amen? We're going to be a people who understand and begin to live this out in our lives. Hey, why do I say that this is like Christianity 101? It's because just about everything else in the kingdom of God then is built on this understanding and on this foundation. For example, I know a lot of Christians that don't understand what does it mean to walk in the Spirit. You'll never know what it means, and you'll never be able to successfully do it unless you understand this truth that we're talking about. So it opens that up. And I'm going to prove that to you as we go on. How to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. If you don't understand this about the natural and the supernatural, and how to activate your senses, you'll never be able to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. How do you receive guidance for your life? I hear a lot of Christians complaining, I can never hear what God wants to say to me. And I'm not, please hear me, I'm not accusing anyone. I've been there, I've been in that position. But you don't have to be. And it's learning this truth and understanding how we can flow in this that can then open up, being able to receive guidance, how to excel in your relationships, how to receive healing for your body, how to prosper financially. All of these things all have to do with this basic building block about being connected to the supernatural and not allowing the natural to dominate our thinking. So I want to actually explore a few of those just in this final part. I want to show you, I want to talk to you about how do you walk in the Spirit? How does understanding this enable us to walk in the Spirit? How do you flow in the gifts of the Spirit? So I want to deal with some of those things so that you become armed and you understand. So turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Chapter 5. Galatians 5 verse 16. When you understand what it means to be connected to the supernatural, then you'll understand how you can walk in the Spirit. Who can remember? What does it mean to be connected to the supernatural? You make decisions based on what? The Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. So Galatians 5 verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, I used to read this, and I think a lot of believers read it like this, because I used to think, man, how can I overcome these sinful habits? How can I overcome these sinful problems? And I would read that. Walk in the Spirit and you will not overcome the lust. And you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I used to read it, okay. So I've just got to, if I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, then I can walk in the Spirit. All right, that's it. And but that's not what it's saying, is it? Yeah, it's the wrong way. So I was trying to beat down these habits. I was trying to beat down these wrong ways of thinking. I was trying to beat down all of these things and thinking, I kept falling and I kept failing and I kept failing. And I'm thinking, God, I'm trying as hard as I can. I just can't walk in the Spirit. But that wasn't the answer. This scripture says, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I was trying to stop the lust of the flesh so I could walk in the Spirit. I had it the wrong way around. Walk in the Spirit. And then those things that just were sticking to you all the time fall off. Because when you walk in the Spirit, it says you will not fulfill the lust. It doesn't say you may not. It doesn't say after a while. No, you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? So we're going to look at that in a moment. But we'll just read on from there. Verse 17 says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, everyone say led by the Spirit. There's that thing, being connected to the supernatural. Allowing the Spirit of God to lead you, allowing the Word of God to make the decisions in your life. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. When you are connected to the supernatural, you are walking in the Spirit. That's what it means. To walk in the Spirit just means you're connecting to the supernatural. What does that mean? That means that you make your decisions based on the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Not on how you feel, not on what the circumstances are. So many Christians are ruled by their circumstances. So many Christians are ruled by their... Well, you know, I just don't feel like doing anything today, so I'm just not going to do anything today. I remember the Holy Spirit said to me one day, he said, this is an emotionally overweight society. Or generation, I should say. That's what he said. This is an emotionally overweight generation. There's nothing wrong with emotions. We've just overplayed them. We have overemphasized them, and now so many are a victim to their own emotions. They're a slave to their feelings. You know, one of the distinguishing characteristics of an adult from a child is an adult is someone who can control their emotions. Their emotions don't control them. Children are the ones that spit the dummy, stamp their feet, throw things around. I hope that you're not like that. Because an adult and a spiritually mature person is someone who's saying, I don't care how I feel. I'm not asking you, body. I'm not asking you how you feel. I've made a commitment. I'm going to keep that commitment. So walking in the Spirit is being connected to the supernatural. It's when you make decisions based on the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. You make those decisions when things are going your way, and you keep those decisions when things aren't going your way. You make those decisions when you're believing God for that new job, and you keep those decisions when you've got the new job. How many believers just are believing and praying, and maybe they're believing for a healing, maybe they're praying for a breakthrough, and it's like the moment they get it, it's like, yeah, you know what, I'm just taking a holiday, I'm not going to church anymore, I'm not going to read my Bible. Don't be such a meathead. Don't be so governed by your feelings. There should be a cause of celebration, shouldn't there? You've got your breakthrough. In fact, the celebration should even come before your breakthrough, when you've got that assurance. But I mean, are you a consumer? Are you a user? It's just like, hey God, I don't need you now, see ya. I've got my breakthrough. Don't need to talk to you. We're not like that. Turn around to the person next to you and say, you are not like that. We're better than that. We are better than that. We are not going to use God to get our way and then forget about Him. Do I hear an amen? Walking in the Spirit means you make those decisions based on the Word and the leading of the Spirit, whether things are good and whether things are bad, you continue to do what you know you do. Whether you're up or whether you're down, whether you're facing a battle or whether you've received your breakthrough, you keep doing what you know the Spirit of God's told you to do. You keep doing what you see in the Word He's told you to do. How can you tell if you're walking in the Spirit or if you're walking in the flesh? It's really easy. Look at the fruit in your life. This scripture that we just read talks about the works of the flesh in verse 19. Works of the flesh are evident. They are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, and so on. Let me read it to you in the contemporary English version. It says, When people's selfish desires will make them give in to immoral ways, filthy thoughts, shameful deeds. They will worship idols, practice witchcraft, hate others. They'll be hard to get along with. They'll become jealous, angry, selfish. They don't just argue and cause trouble, but they become envious. They get drunk. They carry on at wild parties and do other evil things as well. How can you tell whether you're walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh? What fruit's being born in your life? Are you constantly getting into frustration and arguments? Are you getting jealous of other people? Get envious? These are things that then indicate, hey, I need to disconnect from that. That is not going to rule my life. If you're walking in the Spirit, there's fruit from that that comes, that begins to be born. In verse 22, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So look at the fruit in your life, and if you can see there's some fruit that's being born that you're not happy with, then begin to make decisions based on the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Not your feelings, not your circumstances, not your pay packet, not anything else. Make it based on the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And you need to understand, I will share a bit more about this. Decisions you make will be tested. Remember when Jesus started His ministry? The Spirit of God led Him into the wilderness. It wasn't the devil that led Him. The Spirit led Him into the wilderness and He was tested. The devil says, are you really the Son of God? Turn these stones into bread. That's a pretty low blow when you haven't been eating for 40 days. I'm sure just the thought of bread, oh man. I remember, I used to be a youth pastor and an assistant pastor in a church down in Melbourne, and it was located next door to a bakery. I used to pray and fast every Friday. It was a bad move, because every Friday was pie day at the bakery, and all day I could smell those meat pies being cooked, just thousands and thousands, and oh man. I never ever thought about, like, why don't you just fast a different day? Then you can go and have some meat pie. But your decisions will be tested. That decision was tested. And let me say something, like, fasting should be a part of the Christian life. I'll never sort of teach on this because I don't think anybody will ever download the thing. Jesus never talked about believers if they fast. He talks about when they fast. And fasting, anyway, I don't want to say too much, but I just do want to say this. There's tremendous benefit in fasting. But you must have purpose in fasting and you must make a solid decision. If you kind of just say, you know what, I think I might just fast a bit tomorrow, you are going to eat some of the biggest meals you've ever eaten in your life over the next day. I know. If you don't make a rock-solid decision, the devil will ensure that you don't carry it out. Anyway, so we'll go on from there. So, to walk in the Spirit is to be connected to the supernatural, and that means you're going to make decisions based on the Word of God, the leading of the Spirit, and there will be times those decisions will be tested. understanding these things just it then opens up not only just walking in the Spirit, but how you flow in the gifts of the Spirit. You can flow in the gifts of the Spirit. How do I get words of knowledge? You've seen me do that. I couldn't always do that, and it was because of ignorance on my part. I had read and I'd been taught something, and I believe it was wrong teaching. It's not these people weren't sinister people, they were good, well-meaning people, but it was a misunderstanding. I thought I could only move in the gifts of the Spirit if God wanted me to move in the gifts of the Spirit. And that kind of, technically that is correct, but God wants us to. That question's already been answered. God's already said yes. But see, I thought, well, it just depends. Different days is different things. So I was constantly waiting for God to do something. And then one day, I was actually watching Clark Taylor move in the Word of Knowledge. And I thought, man, how does he do that? And the Lord said, you can do that. And the moment he said that, I could see myself doing that. And I said, but I got to wait for you. And he said, no, you don't. He said, you can do that. See, if you're waiting for God to give you something, you'll be waiting a long time. The Scripture actually shows that God is talking to us all the time. He never switches off. You can stay up all night and he'll keep talking to you. And he'll keep talking to you. That's why Paul, if you read through 1 Corinthians 14, he puts limits on how many prophecies and how many tongues. Why put limits? Can't God count? But Paul says, like, let there be only two or three that prophesy, or two or three that give tongues. But if there's no interpreter, don't. I used to think, well, it's all up to God. But if it was all up to God, why does Paul put these limits? God can count. Can't he count? Like, oh, well, there's been three prophecies. I'm switching that off now. No, it's because God's always on. He is always on. You're always hearing from him. And you can switch in and connect to the supernatural, activate your spiritual senses, and move in the gifts of the Spirit anytime you want. That's why there's so often times, you know, like, I want you to understand, like, when we have praise and worship, it's not about the songs. It's about moving into that dimension of the Spirit. I want you to come forward. I want you to stir yourself up. The praise and worship is a vehicle, but it's got to be more than that. I believe healings will manifest in our midst. I believe words of knowledge and prophetic utterances will manifest. But if you keep waiting for God to do something, he's waiting for you. And you can do it any time you want. And the moment I got that revelation, I could do it any time I wanted. So when I went into PNG, every village, I just said, show me something. And he would show me things. And then he began, like, I remember one time I kind of had this theory that what I'm sharing with you, I hadn't sort of quite proved it all out. I could see it in the Word, but I kind of had this theory, you know what, I could just keep going if I wanted to. And one day I remember I was in this village and I said, show me something. And he showed me like 24 things. And I said, which one is it? And he said, all of them. I'm going, what? You can move. And listen, you know, like, if you've never moved, it'll happen in a little bit, and it'll happen a little bit. If you stir yourself up, though, and you understand the reality of these two dimensions, and you become someone who decides, I'm not going to go just by being a meathead and how I feel and think. I'm going to start tuning into the Word of God and letting the Spirit of God lead me. He'll start activating. Do you think that would be handy if you're a parent? To not just hear what your kids are saying, but to hear what they're not saying. How handy is that? I know, as a pastor, it is immensely useful. I can talk to people, and they're telling me one thing, but I know something else. Look, God doesn't show, just relax, God doesn't show me everything, okay? So, I can only see what he shows me. But I want you to understand, he's showing you also. Joel, would you come out? So would you be able to call out one or two people and just minister to them?
Jemima? Zoe? Apologies. I agree to words. Since the end of worship, so I had for you, Jemima, keep your heart soft. You've got a really good passion for the Lord, and that's fantastic. Let's ensure you keep your heart soft for the Lord, because there's so much to learn. You can never stop learning. It's amazing, the things that you teach you. Even when you've probably as well, you're a pastor, you're still learning, like with walking in the Spirit, your words, you thought, you know what I mean? Keep your heart soft. Not to say that's not hard, but just remember that God's got so much He wants to teach you, and the revelation you're going to get is just going to be amazing, and you'll be able to teach your friends. So that's pretty cool. And Zoe, I just got this feeling for you, God. This word for you is the fire in your heart. God knows that it's not gone. But don't worry, God's not disappointed. God loves you, and He's proud of you, and He'll always love you and be proud of you. So I think you be really hard on yourself and sort of punish yourself in your mind a little bit. God loves you. Just remember that.
I just stay here for a minute. So, did what Joel shared, did that fit? Yep. Okay, and what about for you? Did that fit, what he was saying? Yep. Yeah, I know they fit. All right. So I want you to meditate on those things. All right, thanks, guys. You can grab a seat. Thanks, Joel. See, I can call him to do that anytime, right? Because he's learnt this truth that he can just connect. It's just as easy as dishing up a bowl of ice cream in the natural and eating it to move into that. You are a supernatural being. You can connect to the supernatural, and the more you practice allowing the Spirit of God to lead you and allowing the Word of God to be the decision maker in your life, the more you will activate your spiritual senses. You've got spiritual eyes. You'll start seeing things in the spirit realm. You've got spiritual ears. You'll start hearing things in the spirit realm. Remember I told you about that lady that I led to the Lord on the plane? And the three times the Lord said to me, talk to her. The third time, because twice He said, talk to her. And I said, I don't want to talk. She doesn't want to talk to me. I'm busy anyway. And the third time, I heard with my spirit, not my physical ear, but with my spiritual ears, He said, she wants to talk. And that really caught me by surprise. So then I put my tablet away and I thought, oh, well, how am I going to start a conversation? But once we started talking, boy, did she want to talk. The next 45 minutes, I couldn't get a word in. She's just telling me everything. Activate these things. Being connected to the supernatural will enable you to walk in the Spirit. It enables you to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, which is so handy. It's handy not just not just at church. I mean, church is just a practice ground. This is kind of like our dojo where you learn your forms, you know. But then you get proficient, and then you take that out into the marketplace, your workplace. How cool would it be to get a word from God for your workmate? How cool would it be to get a word from God for that obnoxious member of the family that just doesn't want to hear anything about the things of God? And that's why we want to stir these things up and start flowing them. Being connected to the supernatural also enables you to receive guidance for your life. In John chapter 10, verse 27, I'll get you to turn there. John 10, verse 27. Hallelujah. It's so exciting. This stuff is just really, really exciting. And I want to see more of you begin to activate. I think some people are like, they're scared about moving in the gifts of the Spirit because they're thinking like, well, what if I get it wrong? Listen, let me just give you some assurance there. Hey, you will get it wrong. There's not what if, it will. All right? The more you practice this, the better you get. But anyone practicing anything will make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. you're going to be slightly off. And that's all right. We can talk about that. We can make adjustments to that. So, you know, like, but, you know, then you start doing it, and boy, you see results. I remember one time Joel, we were running youth group, and Joel grabbed the mic from us. He said, can I have the mic? He said, I really believe God wants me to do something. We said, yeah. He went and he prophesied over every single person. And one of the guys who was visiting that night, he actually works at Andrew's Meats at the Hyperdome. He's an ex-student from Runcorn. And he came up to me and he said, how did he do that? And I said, do what? He said, well, how did he do it? Like, he went and talked to everybody. And I said, well, God just... And he said, yeah, but how did he know all that stuff? Because, like, he'd shared some things, Joel had shared some things with him, and he knew, like, man, you're reading my mail. Like, how do you know that? This is stuff we need. This is what makes the difference between just trying to intellectually debate with someone about the reality of God rather than just cut through it because you're demonstrating the power of God in your life. Hallelujah. Are you John chapter 10, verse 27? It says, my sheep hear my voice. Who said that? Jesus. It's in red if you've got a red letter edition in your Bible. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. How do you receive guidance for your life? Well, number one, agree with the Word of God. To be connected to the supernatural means you're led by the Spirit and you let the Word of God to make the decisions in your life. Well, the Word of God says, my sheep hear my voice. So stop saying, I can't hear him. You keep saying, you know, I can't hear God. I just don't know what he wants me to say. I just don't know. I can't hear him. I can't. You're calling him a liar because he just said, my sheep hear my voice. He's talking about believers. Yeah, but Pastor Les, I can't hear him. Well, stop saying that. The more you say it, because if you say it and you believe it, Jesus said, you're going to have it. Start getting into agreement with him. I remember when God first showed me that, I was actually having a whinge to him that I couldn't hear him. And he led me to this scripture and he said, read it. My sheep hear my voice. Yeah, I know that, Lord, but I don't know what you're trying to tell me. And then it was like he was saying to me, read it again. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Yeah, I know, but why don't you just tell me what you want me to do in this situation? And it was like he was saying, read it again. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Yeah, I know that's what you said, but that's not my experience. Why don't you just talk to me? You know I'll do whatever you say. Just tell me. Read it again. I read it again. I read it again. I read it again. Finally, I saw what he was saying. I was arguing with, I was calling him a liar. Is God truth? Yes. If he says you hear his voice, instead of pointing to your experience, which is the natural, point to the supernatural and say, you know what, I got spiritual ears. I hear your voice. I hear your voice. I don't have any trouble. So I remember I was talking to Annette one time and she was saying she never says she can't remember something. If she's misplaced something, she'll just say, you know, I remember exactly where I put that and you're going to show me, Lord. What is she doing? Instead of staying connected to the natural, she's connecting to the supernatural because your spirit man knows everything. Is that right? You're a born of God, little children, and you know everything. To receive guidance for your life means you start connecting to the supernatural. And instead of saying, God, I just don't know, I can't hear you, you say, no, I can hear you. Loud and clear, I can hear you. I know exactly what you're saying. My spirit man knows it. And I know as I stay in the spirit and I stay connected to the supernatural, it's going to come out. And it does. It does. How do you receive healing? How can this help in the area of healing? You know, like if you've got a need of healing, number one, refuse to panic or get discouraged. So you've prayed the prayer of faith. Maybe there's an issue in your body and you've prayed over yourself, but nothing appears to have changed. What do? You stay connected to the supernatural. I remember one time there was this kid at school. I'd been teaching along this line, and this kid at school, he came up and said, oh, will you pray for me? He said, my knee is just really sore. And I said, well, He said, I asked some of the other guys to pray, and he said, but it didn't work. And I said, how do you know it didn't work? And he said, because it's sore. And I said, John, if you asked God to forgive you and you were sincere, would he forgive you? And he said, yep. And I said, but what if you felt condemned? And he thought about it, and he said, well, the Bible says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I said, that's right. I said, so if you confess your sin, will God forgive you? And he said, yes. And I said, well, what if you feel condemned? And he said, but the Bible says that he'll forgive. And I said, so it's got nothing to do with your feelings, is that right? And he said, yeah. And I said, so why are you allowing your feelings to tell you about your body? Can you see how we stay in the natural? Yeah, but it still hurts, so I'm not healed. Why are you saying that? If we do it for forgiveness, why don't we do it for healing? Stay connected to the supernatural. Don't ask your body, are you better? You tell your body, hey, you're better. I got good news for you. Psalm 103, verse 3 says, he heals all my diseases. You're better. You've prayed the prayer of faith and nothing seems to be happening. What do? You stay connected to the supernatural. Don't make decisions based on what you feel and what you see. Make decisions based on what God says. I remember Andrew Warmick was sharing about, I think this is a fairly recent testimony. There was like a sore, I'm not sure which ear. Do you know which ear that sore, you haven't heard that, this one? Okay. So there was a sore that was developing on his ear. I'm not sure which ear, we'll just say it was the right ear. But it was developing, and anyway, he didn't really notice it because he didn't look at his ears, couldn't see his ears normally unless he looked in the mirror. But other people began to notice. They said, "What's that on your ear?" And he said, "I don't know. What is it?" And they said, "Oh, it looks like some sort of sore." Anyway, it began to grow, and then one of the guys on his board is a medical practitioner. He's a doctor, and one day after a board meeting, he saw it, and he said, hey, what's that on your ear? And Andrew said, oh, I don't know. And he said, can I have a look at it? So he brought Andrew into the light and had a look at it, and he said, mate, he said that looks like a melanoma. He said, you need to come into my office. We need to run some tests and get this checked out. Anyway, Andrew's just at the place where he just knows who he is in Christ. And I'm not telling you you've got to do it this way, right? This is really important. Just because someone does one thing one way doesn't mean you should do it. Remember, being connected to the supernatural is letting the Spirit of God lead you. Yeah. So because Andrew does it this way doesn't mean you should do it. You let the Spirit of God lead you. And I'll give you another example of that in a minute. But anyway, Andrew was just at that place and he said, look, he said, no, I don't need to get it checked out. And anyway, his friend the doctor said, no, he said, we need to look at that. That doesn't look good. And Andrew said, I don't care how it looks. He said, nothing can stay on my body. He said, I don't need to get checked out. Anyway, so that was the end of it. The doctor knew well enough, he knew Andrew well enough to know that he's not going to win the argument. And so just continued. But people at different places would comment about his ear because it continued to fester and it continued to grow until it actually came to a place where it began to bleed. And so it was quite an ugly looking sore, and now it was bleeding, and people would bring attention, and they would say, oh, what's wrong with your ear? And he said, I don't know. He said, I can't see it. And they said, it's bleeding, you know. And he said, is it bothering you? And they would say, oh, yeah. And he said, then don't look at it. He said, it doesn't bother me. And he just continued on. Well, this happened over a period of about 6 years. And if you look at his ears now, they are completely whole and well. He did not receive any medical treatment. He didn't need to get it checked out. He was just letting the Spirit of God lead him, and he just felt like this is no big deal. But here's the point that I want to make. He didn't pray and didn't check it the next day and go, it's not going. Oh, isn't my faith working? I'm sure I prayed in faith. See, when you're connected to the supernatural, you're not moved by what you see, you're not moved by what you feel, you understand the word is truth and the Spirit of God is leading me, so I'm just staying on here. And 6 years it took. He doesn't understand why it took 6 years, but he wasn't bothered by it. And if other people were bothered by it, he would tell them, well, just don't look at it and it won't bother you. Are you hearing what the Lord's saying? Hello? Let the Lord lead you. Well, Pastor Les, do I have to stop taking all my medications? Like, because I want to believe God to be healthy and well. Where does it say that in the Bible? Where does it say that unless you stop your medication, you can't be healed? I, as your pastor, I would not be advising you to stop taking any medications unless you heard from the Lord. When He tells you, that's when you do it. Just let be someone who's connected to the supernatural, being led by the Spirit and the Word of God. There will come a day where you'll just realize, you know what, I just don't need these anymore. Why am I taking these? And don't try to generate that to happen quicker than it needs to happen. Just walk with God, He'll show you. There came a day when, you know, like I'd been diagnosed with diabetes, I had to have 4 of these tablets a day, but it came a day where the Lord said, you don't need this anymore. Don't take it. And then I went and got a checkup a number of months later, and she said, mate, she said, that medication's really working well. She said, everything's normal. You don't have, because I had fatty liver disease, I had kidney disease, and my blood sugar was just way over the top. She said, everything. She said, you don't have diabetes anymore. She said, wow, that medication's doing well. And I said, I actually stopped that medication 8 months ago. But I didn't do it on my timetable. I let Him lead me. If I did it on my timetable, I would have stopped at day one, but I would have been running ahead of God. Hallelujah. Happy Caldwell is a great man of God, a pastor, and his wife Jeannie, a number of years ago, was involved in a terrible, terrible car accident. She broke her back in 3 places. They rushed her to the hospital, they ran some scans, and they saw, your back is broken in 3 places. This will not repair of itself. We need to insert some rods. They're going to be there permanently. It's going to hinder your mobility, but this is what we need to do. They wanted to put 3 rods in. And she said, well, am I paralyzed? And they said, no, you're not. And she said, well, I don't want any rods in. I'm not going to be hindered in my mobility. And they said, you don't understand that if you try to move around or do anything, you will sever your spinal cord and then you will be immobile. You'll never walk again. And she said, am I immobile now? And they said, no, you're not. And she said, well, I don't want any rods in. So they didn't know what to do. They could not discharge her because they felt they would be liable for medical malpractice because they felt it would be inevitable that she would sever her spinal cord. So they just wheeled her into a room. It's kind of like putting her on the shelf. They really didn't know what to do. Anyway, she told her husband Happy when he came in what they'd said, and so they prayed, and he rang a number of their friends, and they all agreed and believed. And anyway, one day, while Happy was there with his wife, Oral Roberts called. And he said, now Happy, he said, I want you to put your hand. Now, she had been ordered to lie in this bed and not move. She was not allowed to lift her head because it would put a strain on her back. So she's just lying there. So Happy had to slide his hand under her back. And there Oral was on the phone, and he said, I'm putting my hand on Evelyn's back. And he said, we're going to pray in the Spirit. So they just prayed in the Spirit, prayed in the Spirit. That's a great way of connecting to the supernatural, isn't it? Just pray in the Spirit. So he's praying in the Spirit, he's praying in the Spirit. And as he is, Happy was saying he could feel like bones moving in Evelyn's back. And then finally, you know, like Oral said, okay, Happy, tell Evelyn to lift her head off the pillow. Now she's been told, don't you lift your head off the pillow. And Happy knew that. So he's thinking, well, I've got to be real cautious here. And so he said, Jeannie, Oral said, lift your head off the pillow. So she lifted her off the pillow. And he said, now tell her to sit up in bed. Jeannie, Oral said, sit up in bed. So she sat up in bed. Now tell her to swing her legs off the bed. Oral said, swing your legs off the bed. So she swung her legs off the bed. Now tell her to stand up. Oral said, stand up. She's standing up. And, you know, they were all just like really delighted that she's doing all this. And then Oral said, now tell her to bring her right knee up to her chest while she's standing up. Bring your right knee. So then bring the left knee. And then Oral said, okay, now get back into bed and lie down. So she did that. And Oral said to her, he said, now you stay in the spirit. Don't get in your head. What was he saying to her? Don't get in the natural. Stay connected. Stay connected. Stay connected. Now, the Lord had already spoken to Jeannie. She hadn't told anybody. But the Lord had said to her, you're going to remain in bed for 30 days. And after 30 days, you're going to get up and you'll be fine. She hadn't told Oral. She hadn't told Happy. So she just remained. They actually eventually discharged her and they said, well, you have to just remain immobile, but you can go home because there's nothing we can do for you. You don't want the rods, and so you may as well just go home. So she did. And for 30 days, she just lay there. And then after 30 days, the Lord said, you're fine. You can get up. She got up. She never had a problem. That was over 30 years ago. And she is completely well. Because she connected to the supernatural. She let the Spirit of God lead her. She made decisions based on what the Word had to say, and not what the doctors were saying, and not what the experts were saying, and not even what her body was saying. How do you prosper financially with this stuff? Well, you make decisions based on what God's telling you and what His Word says. You know, if you make decisions based on the price tag, we're talking about finances here. If you make decisions based on the financial price tag, you're going to miss God the vast majority of times. Some Christians think that unless they save money or make money, they've missed God. You can save money on a deal, but it could be the most expensive deal you'll ever make. I remember there was a car that we bought, and I was the one who wanted. Joy didn't want to buy it. I was the one that wanted to buy it because I thought it was a really good deal. It was the most expensive deal. Yeah, we saved some money, but boy, it cost us. The number of times we had to get that thing repaired. Just because you're paying out a lot doesn't mean you've missed God. You can't make decisions based on the price tag. You make decisions based on what the Spirit of God is saying. What the Word of God says. You will never move out. If you base it on price tags, what are you going to do? I mean, I remember when the Lord spoke to Joy and I and said, I want you to leave your job and follow me. Now, don't do this unless you hear from the Lord. But that's what He told us. Well, how much are you going to... I didn't know what was going to happen. Joy didn't know what was... I remember because we were getting nervous. He'd given us 1 year. He said, you give 1 year's notice. I'd been a chaplain for 13 years, and the chaplaincy had expanded way beyond the school. It had gone right into the community. And I knew I needed to give a year's notice because the churches and families had been impacted, and people, I know, they just wanted to celebrate the chaplaincy. And so for a year, we kind of celebrated. So I knew a year ahead, and so did Joy. But coming close to when I was finishing up, I remember we were both getting nervous. In the natural, it looked bleak. Like, who leaves a good job for nothing? And Joy would say to me, has God shown you what we're going to do? I'd say, no, has He shown you? And she said, no. I said, well, what are we going to do? And I said, well, we're just going to do what God said. God said leave, so that's what we're going to do. I couldn't call Origin Electricity and say, hey, listen, I've left my job. Hey, so... when I get another job, I'll pay you. They're not going to, yeah, hey, we understand that. We'll believe with you. You can't make decisions based on the price tag. You know, like, that decision was the greatest decision we ever made because it was what the Lord told us to do. And I can attest, I am living better now than I've ever lived in my entire life. And Joy and I, even before she went to heaven, we lived better. We did more in those next few years than we'd ever done, and we weren't on anyone's pay. We weren't on anybody's payroll. I mean, we began to travel overseas. We'd never been able to afford it when I had a job. I was just saying to Anthony just before, you know, he was I went yesterday into my wardrobe because I was trying to work out, what am I going to wear? Do I need to iron something? And I was looking at my wardrobe, and I just spent some time just giving God thanks, because I said, look at my wardrobe, Lord. I've got better clothes than I've ever had in my life. I've got like about, I don't know, 6 or 8 jackets, you know, and I didn't even have one jacket over about a year and a half ago. No, I had one, sorry. And I've got like, and these are really nice jackets. These, you know, like, but I hadn't, I did actually use my faith. Like, I mean, I remember a year and a half ago, I said, you know what, one jacket, this needs to change. Lord, I'm calling in jackets. And so that's what I did. I just released my faith, and I didn't think anything more of. But I'm looking in my wardrobe, and I've got like really, really nice stuff. You don't have to live connected to the natural. You're a supernatural being. Does this happen immediately? No, it doesn't. It takes time. But the more you practice this, the better you'll get at it. And financially, it'll turn your finances around. It'll turn it around where you know, like, I don't live week to week. I was just talking to one of the bus drivers. He was, oh, man. He had to show me his route. And so I spent the day with him on Friday. I tell you, if I wasn't born again, I would have shot myself after spending time with him. It was like the worst sob story you've ever heard. Everything was going, look, I'm not trying to laugh at him, but it's just like, it's so foreign to me. This is so foreign to me, not just because good things are happening, but even if something bad happens, I refuse to let that rule my life. And I'm hearing this guy, and he's a meathead, you know, and he doesn't know any better because he's not born again. But, you know, like, he's just, like, everything's just gone wrong. And it was really, really, you know, and then at the end, I had a check from the Lord, don't say anything, so I didn't. And then he brought it up right at the end. He said, so I hear you're a pastor. And I said, yeah. And he said, yeah. He said, I thought about religion one time. He said, I was looking at like Hinduism. He said, but they're not allowed to eat red meat. He said, so I didn't want to do that. I said, I don't blame you. I'll have my steak. I said, but to me, it's not about a religion. It's about a friendship with God. And I said, and you know what? I said, if I'm going to have a faith, I need to know it works. And I said, I can tell you this works. I said, I've been where you are. I've been hearing you all day tell me about how you don't have enough money, how your marriage is falling apart, how your kids are going off the rails. I've been where you are. I used to live week to week. Felt like the week was too long before I got paid again. And by the time I got paid, there was another pile of bills that I had to try to clear up and could never, ever get ahead. I said, I don't live like that anymore. I haven't lived like that for a little while. I said, you don't have to either. I said, God has some good plans for you. But then I just shut up. Put it out there. Let him think about it. You'll be tested in these areas. In the area of finances, how can you tell if you're connected to the supernatural in the area of finances? Well, number one, tithing is an honor and a joy to you. If I tell you that God wants to prosper you and I don't talk to you about giving, I am just going to set you up for failure. At some point, if you believe God wants you to increase, well, number one, you have to decide, why does God want you to increase and why do you want to increase? And are they the same? Some people just want to increase because they want to feed their own lust. God's not interested in that. God does not want to destroy you. The scripture says the prosperity of a fool will destroy him. God does not want to destroy you. He wants you to prosper, but not so you can feed it on your lust. He wants you to prosper that he can show you off to others and you can be a blessing to others and you'll have plenty to enjoy for yourself. Plenty. How do you know if you're connected to the supernatural in the area of finances? Well, number one, tithing is an honor and a joy. And I'm not saying that. Listen, we've already taken up the offering so you can relax. All right? I am not saying that to draw your money. You never need to give here. If you never ever give, you will always be welcome here. I don't depend on your giving. I didn't have a church when God called me to give up my job. I learned how to trust Him as my source before we ever planted a church. So I know this works. And if you're not at that place where you can tithe, don't tithe. But at some point, if you want to connect to the supernatural, you're going to make decisions based on the Word of God. And the Word of God's very clear that the tithe belongs to Him. But if you're not at that place, that's all right. I'm just telling you to answer the question, how do you connect to the supernatural in the area of finances? Number one, the first step, is you have to know it's an honor for me. Because why is it? Why do I say it's an honor and a joy? Because I realize He's my source. If you don't know that, you'll never be able to tithe. If you think your job is your source, you will not be able to tithe. You can't open your hand. Come on. You can't open it. Why? Because I worked hard for that. But when you just say, you know what? You're my source. You got me this job, and you can get me money without this job even. It's so easy. You gave me everything. I'm going to give you what belongs to you and more. Another indicator too is you're looking for ways to increase so you can be a blessing to others. And I know there's a number of you that are there. There is a number of you that you want to increase more. You want, because you just so want to give. You've gone beyond the tithe. You want to give and be a blessing. Listen, God sees your heart. Don't overextend yourself. Walk according to your faith and just let it continue to develop. He will increase you. It will come. Just stay connected to the supernatural. I have sowed in the last few years, and I'm saying this to glorify God. It's not so much for me, but I've sown a lot of finances, and it's been so much fun. I love it. I was just talking to Anthony just during the week. We were talking about one of the speakers that we've both been listening to, and I said, yeah, the only problem I have with that guy is he talks about tithing, but he never talks about giving. I love giving. Like, the tithe is wonderful. That's a great honor, but I want to give beyond that. It's so much fun. And I've given in the last few years a lot of money. It's a five-figure amount anyway. That's all I want to say. But it's just, and it's so much, I never, when I had a job, I could barely afford to tithe. It pays to connect to the supernatural. There's tremendous benefit. And understand, in all of these areas, whether it's healing, whether it's guidance, the gifts of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, or finances, these decisions will be tested. You've got to understand this. You may decide, you know what, I'm putting God first in this area. It's going to be tested. There will be a walking out in your life, because you have to know in your heart of hearts, God, you are good. I'm not alone here. You're with me. But if you push through and you stay connected to the supernatural, you will break through. And then you won't be able to stop it. No one will be able to stop it. It'll be awesome. Did you get something out of it this morning?
Yeah.
Let's stand up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, I'm going to wrap up there. If you want me to pray for you, I can. But I mean, I've pretty much given you handles on. I've covered just about every area I could think of anyway. So you know how to connect to the supernatural. See, my desire is not so much that I continue to meet with people all the time and stuff. I want to see you grow up. And to grow up means that you start then being able to minister to yourself and look after yourself. And then I can then get you to help me minister to others that need help growing up. That's my desire. Lord, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. We just thank you. You just make it so easy for us. And we want to give you honor and praise and glory. We just count it a great privilege to walk with you and to know that you are with us. Lord, we just choose to be doers of your word and not just hearers. I want you to say after me, I'm a doer. I'm a doer of the word of God. I hear his word and I'm quick to obey. In Jesus' name, amen.
This message is distributed free of charge by the friends and partners of Transformers Christian Church. If you'd like to partner with us and help send this to others free of charge, then email info@transformers.org.au. Have a great day.